Good day, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. Today's date is February 1st, 2022, and this is episode 102, season 5. And thank you for joining me. And I have an interesting show coming up. I will be talking about Atari, my memories of Atari games. It's still around, of course, but I'm talking about my memories of that in the 1980s, far different from what it is today. Also, I'll cover a few things that happened this week. But right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Hostess Crumb Cakes. And here is a commercial featuring actress Anne Blythe from the 1970s. Enjoy, everybody.
Hello. You know, for several years I've been telling you about Hostess snack cakes and how much my children love them. Now Hostess has made something new for me. Although the kids enjoy them too. New Hostess crumb cakes. Light little cakes with a grown-up taste. Made with a flavorful cinnamon topping over delicious moist cake. Perfect for coffee time, breakfast, anytime. New Hostess crumb cakes. The light little cakes with a grown-up taste.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial for Hostess Crumb Cakes. I'll give you a little history about the actress. Her name was Anne Blythe. She was started in the movies for many, many years, and she's still alive. She's 93 years old, and her famous role was Vida Pierce in a 1945 movie, Mildred Pierce, that starred Joan Crawford. And Anne Blythe played her daughter. And it was real, she was very venomous, very bitchy, you know. And I love that movie. I've seen it about at least 10 times. It's a great, great movie. Joan Crawford won the Academy Award for Best Actress. She deserved it. And it's a classic. They play it on TCM all the time, you know, and it's based on a novel. And I remember Carol Burnett did a parody of her, of Mildred Pierce on the Carol Burnett Show in the 70s. And that was hilarious. It was funny. So for Hostess Crumb Cakes, I think I had it once during that time in the 70s. It was okay. You know, it's like for adults. But I haven't seen it since, so it just came and went. Okay. So thank you for joining me today. Today's topic is about Atari arcade video games that I played at home and also at the video arcade. I'll get into that. But first, I have a few things to cover that happened this week. First of all, let's see. Today is the 40th anniversary of Late Night, the TV show that's aired after The Tonight Show, and it premiered February 1st, 1982, and the first host was David Letterman, and he had a show before on NBC on Channel 5 in 1980, and that only ran about, not very long, you know, but it was a variety show, and it was in the morning. It didn't do very well, but A lot of people, I remember a little bit. I never saw it. I don't think I had, because I was in school. And anyway, they asked him to do a late night talk show. And they never had that before, but I think they had the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. I remember that. And but that was different. That wasn't like what it is now. So David Letterman said yes, and then it premiered, like I said, 40 years today on February 1st, and then it became very popular. And I remember watching it at times in the 1980s when I went to DeVry Institute of Technology. I went to school there, and I was studying late at night. You know, I needed a break because sometimes too much studying wasn't good for your head. It felt like it exploded. But I was in my bedroom. I had a black and white TV set, and it was a Zenith. And my godfather got that for me as a present when we first moved into the house in 1974, you know, in the Ashburn neighborhood. It was my very first time, but it was black and white. That was okay. the clone room was in the living room. I talked about that on another episode. Anyway, I first watched David Letterman on the old black and white set while I was studying, and he was amazing. I loved the it made you feel comfortable. I was relaxed watching him interview celebrities, and the first guest was, of course, Bill Murray, who incidentally became the first guest on David Letterman's talk show on CBS on Channel 9 in 1993. So then I remember the guest stars they had. They had the Stupid Petrix, the Top 10. He would interview people on the streets of New York. And they had Paul Schaefer, the band leader. Remember, with the funny glasses. And of course, there was a guy, Larry Bud Melman. He was the funniest man I ever saw. He was a weird looking guy. He had a weird voice. I think he worked for the Transit Authority, Port Authority. I think he did. I'm not sure. But I watched that during the 80s. And then he left. He was going to take over the Tonight Show when Johnny Carson retired, but that didn't work out. Jay Leno took over. So David Letterman had his own show. He went to another network. And then who took over? The late night was Conan O'Brien, who is he? I never heard of him. But he was a funny guy. I liked him. He did some goofy stuff. A lot of goofy stuff, And he was there for a while. Then he took over the Tonight Show, but very briefly. It was chaotic, after Jay Leno. And then after Conan O'Brien left, the late night show, Jimmy Fallon took over, and he was there for a while. And then he took over the Tonight Show after Conan. And then Seth Meyers is on Late Night now. And he's going to have David Letterman as a guest tonight. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that'd be great. Right now, David Letterman he's kind of bald and he has a beard. He looks like Santa Claus, but he still sounds the same. He really is. One thing I remember about David Letterman, it was the funniest thing. It wasn't on Late Night. It was on Channel 2. It was on CBS, where he was talking about fast food, and he wanted to take someone glamorous, someone, uppity, with him to go sample all the fast foods in Los Angeles. And who did he pick? He picked Zsa Gabor. she was married many times. She was alive back then. And then, so he went to pick her up at her mansion. Her husband was standing there. That was her eighth husband. And then they went to every fast food they went to. They had hamburgers, fish sandwiches, tacos. And she was a good sport. She really, I don't know if they ate all that food, but it was funny. I think there's a clip of that in YouTube. So I hope you could enjoy that. Anyway, so happy 40th anniversary, Late Night. Okay. Next thing I want to talk about before I get to Atari is actor Howard Hessman. And he passed away on January 29th. And he was a wonderful actor. And he was known for his roles as Dr. Johnny Fever in WKRP in Cincinnati. And as Charlie Moore of Head of the Class. And then I posted it on my Facebook page and, my social media accounts. That he also was on One Day at a Time. He played Ann Romano, Bonnie Franklin's husband, on the last two seasons. I forgot about that. And that man was everywhere. He was on television. He did some movies, but he was on TV. He had a lot of TV roles, a lot of them, a lot of TV shows. One of his first TV appearances was on The Andy Griffith Show, which I forgot about that. And then also he made appearances on Bob Newhart Show. He played a patient of Bob Newhart, where he revealed to be gay. I remember that one. And also, his most famous role was Dr. Johnny Fever on WKRP in Cincinnati. I never really watched the show, maybe at times, but now I love it. I've saw the reruns. He played that role to a T. It fitted like a glove, because he was a DJ before. So he was wonderful. Wonderful. And his real name was John R. Caravella, Dr. Johnny Fever's character. And according to some sources, he got fired from an LA radio station. He said booger on the air. Okay. And you know, he was a funny character, you know, kind of obnoxious at times, but he was a good man, you know, like he was a very good man. The next role Howard Hessman played was head of the class. He played he was an actor, but he became a social studies and history teacher, and he taught a group of students who were very gifted. And I loved the show. I watched it during the 80s, and it was also the first TV show that aired, that filmed in the Soviet Union at the time. It was not Russia, it was the Soviet Union and Moscow. And I don't know how that came to be, you know, but tensions were melting. They were going away at the time. So I remember watching that show. It was great. And they had a good cast and ran for 5 years, but he only stayed for the first 4 years and then he left. I don't know why. And still syndicated as of WKRP. You can still watch it. And, you know, he was a wonderful actor. He played in a lot of television shows. I remember him in Soap, all over, you name it. He was there. He started some movies, a few of them. He was in Police Academy movies. I remember that. Yeah, so God bless him. He was a wonderful actor. Okay, and one more thing I want to talk about before we get to Atari is I talk about this book that was released yesterday, and it was called Lost Chicago Department Stores, and I received an advance copy of it before it was released to the public, you know, and I read the book. I finished it yesterday, and it talks about the department stores that are gone on State Street in Chicago, in the Loop. And each chapter covers Marshall Field's, Carson Perry Scott, Sears, Montgomery Ward, can't think of Weebles, and also other stores that were there, Litton's, Charles A. Stevens. There was one called The Fair that closed in the early 60s. And I can't think of the top of my head the other ones, but it's a fascinating book, and it's written by Leslie Goddard, wonderful lady, you know, and she's very nice. And I am mentioned in the book. I am mentioned twice. Right? So if you, I will tell you what I said. One is about the Weebles at Fort City and the shopping center in Chicago, and the other one was about Gately's People Store, which was not downtown, but it was in the Roseland area where I used to live, and I talked about the donut machine, if anyone remembered that. So that was cool. I loved it, and I appreciate it. And then I posted on my social media accounts, please buy the book, you know, and they loved it. Also, other stores they talked about was Goldblatt's and Polk Brothers. And they talk about the Christmas decorations on State Street, you know, the stores with the window displays, you know. It's fascinating. If you love Chicago history, this is a book for you. I'm a geek on this. I love it. And it's fascinating. I love the book. So you can find it on Amazon or any bookstore, Barnes & Nobles. You could order it online, or if you're at a bookstore, you know, check it out. You'll be very surprised. There's cool pictures in there. Really nice. Okay. Right now we're going to talk about Atari. And my memories of Atari was that I was living in the Ashburn neighborhood in the late 70s and early 80s. And I remember the commercials for Atari. And you know, I wasn't into video games like that. And my brother saw the ad, and on an impulse, he bought it. He bought it. I think he bought it at Video King. Maybe. I'm not sure where he bought it. And he brought it home, and it was the wooden panel with the two joysticks, the Atari 2600. It's a game console. And I don't remember what first game he bought. Maybe Space Invaders or Asteroids. It could be Asteroids. And then, you know, I had time because I was studying. I think he bought it around when I went to Daly College. So 1981, 82, around there. And So I started playing. I had time, and we invited a few people from the neighborhood, friends of mine, so we played Missile Command, Asteroids, Space Invaders, not Pac-Man. I'll get into that in a second. With that, and you know, just a few games. I think it was Pitfall, and I also played not just at home, but at the video arcade. There was a place in Fort City Mall in the lower level called Peacock Alley, and the video arcade was called Wizard of Games, and I went there all the time. You know, they had pinball machines, video games, and then you bring a lot of quarters and a lot of change, and it was fun. That was a fun, I loved it, you know. And you played all kinds of games. And I remember playing Donkey Kong there. And Pac-Man was there. That's where I first played. And also, I also played video games at Fort City Bowling Center, which was across the street. Well, not across the street. It's in the mall, but you have to go to 76th Street. It was right next to the Fort City Theater. And they had a section where the video games were and pool tables, and I played there too. And there were a lot of kids from my high school at Bogan. They played there as well. And it was fun. I loved it. Also at Scottsdale Bowl, which was located at 83rd Street and South Cicero, in the Scottsdale neighborhood. It borders Burbank, Illinois. And I went bowling at times and played video games. You know, bowling is the only sport I like. I really did. The others, nah. Wasn't good. I'm not interested. Still on that. But bowling I liked. I really did. Okay. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this commercial is for Atari from 1981. This is it's the Atari 2600. So before I start the commercial, I discussed about Atari in a previous podcast episode, so you have to find it. I think it was episode in the 40s, but I'm going to go into more depth after the commercial break. Okay, so here's the commercial from 1981 for Atari 2600.
Those old reruns keep your family apart. Does your dog fall asleep at the very start? Then turn off the TV.
And here's what you want.
With an Atari game, a flick of the switch turns your TV set into a playground and your family room into a family room.
Have you played Atari today?
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Atari. Right now, I'll go into describe some of the games. Well, not really describe. I'll list the games that I remember. That I had and I played and remembered, of course. That's what I said. Anyway, these were the golden age of video arcade. So I'm going to read the list, and there were a lot of them. And so here we go. There was Space Invaders. That was introduced in 1978. I remember it was blue and white. You shoot them up. That was the first blockbuster video game. That was the most popular. And it's still a great game. It really is. You know. Before I continued, there was also other like video companies like Activision and Television. So I don't know. I didn't have time to do research on that. So, but I'll just read off the list of games that I remember. And then we'll see. Okay, and let's see what we got. There was Galaxian, Lunar Lander. I remember that. Asteroids. I had Asteroids. I played that on the video arcades. So I love that one. I really did. That was fun. And there was Battlezone. There was also Berserk and Missile Command. I love that game. I played it at home. I played it in the arcade, and that was a tough game. You know, once you increase your score, it got harder and harder and harder, and you know, like that. And then next was Pac-Man. Now Pac-Man, it was not available at home. You know, that came. I think it came about 82, 83, and they wrote a song about Pac-Man. But I played it in the video arcade all the time. And then Ms. Pac-Man came. But, you know, those ghosts that follow the Pac-Man, you know, he's chewing all the tablets. It's scary, you know, because they're very intimidating, those ghosts. I never did well in that game. No, it's fun, but never did well. Okay. And let's see what else we have. Centipede. Oh, I love Centipede. You know, there was Millipede, but Centipede was fun. You know, and it goes like that. I played that in the video arcade too. Also, Defender, very popular game. Very popular. Excuse me. There was another one called Tempest, Donkey Kong. Everyone remember Donkey Kong. I love that. It was Frogger. I never played it. I've heard of it, but never played it. And also, let's see what else. There was Gorf and Scramble. Ms. Pac-Man came out in 1981, but according to this, it was created from a bootlegged hack of Pac-Man. I don't know. I think it was somebody did this, and then they found out about somebody from who worked for the video company. Heard about it, and he probably bought them. You know, I don't know the whole story of that. Okay, there was Vanguard, Dig Dug, Donkey Kong Jr. That was the sequel of that. It was called, let's see, what else? Jungle King, Moon Patrol, Qbert. Remember Qbert? That was fun. There was Tron. That was based on the film. I remember the movie. It was a pretty good movie. I like that. It was way ahead of its time. It was from Disney. I haven't seen it in years, you know, but I like to see it again. It was Zaxxon from Sega. Let's see. They also had sports. They also had champion baseball. I think basketball. They had all that. Dragon's Lair. Mario Brothers still played. You know, it was a game featuring Mario and his brother Luigi as plumber, Italian-American plumbers. They did that. And let's see. Also, some of the movies had video games, like Star Trek and Star Wars. Atari made a movie for that, and they used the voices of the actors. And let's see. Tapper, and there was Punch-Out. So there were a lot of them. A lot of games. Okay. And, well, today I don't play video games much. You know, I'm older, but I play on my computer, like on Facebook. Like, for example, they have games I played. Right now I play Solitaire and Bingo. Just goes to show you I'm not a kid anymore. But Bingo is wonderful. I love that game. So I play it every other day whenever I have a chance. And I never go to a bingo hall or a parlor. I never done that, but I just play electronically. But it's fun to be with people, you know, do it in person. Okay. So that'll be all for today. I'm sorry to be very brief on that, but I had a lot to cover. So I discussed the Atari video games and where I played at home and at the video arcade. Also, I talked about the 40th anniversary of Late Night with David Letterman. And also Howard Hessman, the actor that passed away. And, of course, the Lost Department Stores book by Leslie Goddard. So check it out. It is on sale. If you love Chicago history of retail, Marshall Fields, Weebolts, Carson Peary Scott, go get the book. I finished it, and it's wonderful. Okay. So the next episode would be 103. That should be this weekend. I don't know what I'll discuss, but there's time. So so this is Pete Costanis, host of the podcast for Vanish Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. And thank you for joining me. I enjoyed talking, and I hope you enjoyed listening to me. So bye-bye for now for me. And here's a little traveling music from Ray Rayner saying bye-bye. Saying bye-bye. Okay, take it away, Ray. So long, everybody.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.